Suck my sauce. I'm saying suck my sauce.
Sorry.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the month of movies for June 2019. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And this year we are watching a list that we compiled of some of the funniest movies of all time.
Yeah.
And then also all the other movies we watched. Oh, God, the hiccups.
And then we also watched a movie that we thought we watched or something. I don't know how we're going to explain it.
We thought we watched.
No, we saw the movie and did a synopsis of the movie before seeing it.
Yes.
So it's like we pretended to watch it, and then we really watched it.
Yeah.
Why are you pointing and looking like that?
I guess I was...
Did you get a name?
I got an entry.
You got an entry?
An entry.
Okay, we'll get to that when we get to it.
That's why I was excited, but I couldn't bury the lead.
So the first movie that I watched out of the list of 50 movies that are funny...
52.
Uh-oh. That's right. I took two off because I already watched them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, my list says 50, but I forgot you.
I like your movies.
Two of them, because Singing in the Rain, right?
Yeah, and something else.
Yeah. So
I don't remember what it was.
I don't either.
I think I watched it already.
Okay. Yeah, because I watched...
Mad World.
Yeah.
Mad, I can put that in.
I forgot about that one. I was thinking Popstar.
Oh.
So those are like one and two that are...
Oh, okay.
That people suggested on Facebook. I watched The Nutty Professor.
The... Not Richard Dreyfuss. What's his name?
Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis. Okay, so remember how I said, the Jerry Lewis one. The other movie's called The Absent-Minded Professor.
Yeah, that's the one with Flubber. Yeah.
So I got Nutty Professor and Absent-Minded Professor mixed up. I don't think The Nutty Professor was remade, was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, though with Eddie Murphy. And then they made the clumps off of it.
Oh,
Wasn't that a spinoff? Maybe. I'm 90% sure.
Yeah. I just kept thinking, like, going in, watching this, I thought it was The Absent-Minded Professor, and I was like, when's the Flubber stuff going to happen? And then he's like, all Mr. Coolsville, Daddy-O, and I'm like, this isn't the movie I thought it was.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy made it in 1996, The Nutty Professor, and then in 2000, made Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps. So this was, imagine, it's different.
Yeah, it's very different. God,
because
Clumps is one of the worst movies I've seen parts of.
Because instead of him being nerdy to cool, he's fat to skinny.
So it's Shell Hell.
Yeah, but he controls it. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I didn't either.
Anyways, 1963.
Yeah, 1963. Is that what it was?
1963, The Nutty Professor.
I should probably put 1963 on here then.
In parentheses. Anyways, I kind of gave the synopsis of it already.
So, yeah, he's a
professor. College professor.
He's trying to be cool because he's like Professor Frank from The Simpsons.
Yes.
Was obviously modeled after this movie.
Yeah.
And he's a complete nerd and he wants to be cool and get the girl.
Which is a college student of his.
Which, yeah, that goes against some rules.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. I mean, not creepy,
no,
but like...
I'm sure the age range is different, but you're not supposed to date your students.
But that's why he changed personas, so he's not the teacher.
He's Joe Cool, or whatever his name was. I didn't write it down.
Rock... I want to say something rock.
Rock hard body.
Professor Julius Klemp? That's his name.
Oh, that's why it's Klemp's in the other one.
Maybe. Klemp. But he's clumpy. Buddy Love.
Yeah, like Buddy Holly. Who's kind of a nerd, but hot, I guess.
What?
Buddy Holly.
Oh, I don't know. I just read Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on here. And I was like...
Kinda.
Mr. Hyde was hot?
No.
I got confused.
No, I was saying Buddy... Whatever his name
is. Buddy Holly?
Whatever his name was.
Buddy Love.
Buddy Love. And I said, like Buddy Holly, he's a nerd but also kind of hot.
Dude. Okay, so anyways, yeah, he makes a thing.
Yeah.
And then he's just being a fucking asshole.
He's like creep. He's like complete chauvinistic asshole.
This movie is the reason suffrage exists.
Yes.
Like, he's like, hey, baby doll,
what's
going?
So in order to be cool, you gotta be an asshole to women.
Yeah, like, and then she'd start talking, he's like, shut up. Or, like, be quiet. And then, like, and then she's like, oh my God, I'm so in love with him. I'm like, what the fuck, woman?
And I'm like, okay, he's gonna learn from this, and kinda didn't?
No.
I got to mention, okay, so we've talked about this multiple times in podcasts and stuff and how our sense of humors are different than normal people's. Yeah. There was one scene. Scott knew exactly what scene it was as soon as it happened.
Yep.
There was one scene in this movie that I was laughing, and I'm like, this cannot end, but it has to, because I was just laughing so hard. Because, okay, at the beginning of the movie, he does some experiment where the classroom blows up.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're not supposed to do a dangerous blah, blah, blah in there. And so he gets sent to the dean's office.
Yeah.
And the scene where he's in the dean's office, like, pretending nothing happened, was the most awkward, hilarious scene, in my opinion, of the whole movie. It was the funniest scene in the whole movie.
Well,
and then just, like, the constantly, like, looking around, and then you see, like, the footprints and stuff. Like, it just kept adding to it. Like,
because he gets called into the dean's office, and he sits down in a chair, immediately sinks, and then, like, he gets back up and puts, like, something underneath it, so, like, he sits kind of down. Okay, yeah, it's fine. And then, but then, like, and then, yeah, you notice, like, all the soot from the, and he's trying to clean it up and stuff like that, and, like, and then the whole time, the dean is just sitting there, straight-faced, staring at him. Like, he's expecting something.
He's expecting him to say something.
And it's so fucking, like,
the professor's, like, waiting for the guy to talk. It's just, like, waiting for each other to talk.
There was a running joke in the movie that I wish paid off better than it did. Because every time he checked his watch, it played this, like, super loud classical song.
Yeah.
Like, marching band. Like, and then
I didn't think anything was going to pay off on it. I just figured it happened, a lot.
It happened, like, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, I don't know.
Everyone's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
It was definitely a movie of its time.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like we said, the chauvinistic type stuff.
I didn't care for Buddy Love at all.
No, I did not like Buddy Love at all either, but I'm hoping that was the point, to say your original self is better than who you think you should be.
Many years ago, Mike Esserkan, who's on another podcast I do called Scott Rich Podcast, he did a show called The Science of Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know of Beer and Board Games or Chad Vader, mm-hmm. Matt Sloan from that, like, one of the clips he brought was from The Nutty Professor. It was the part when he, like, the next day he comes in and he has a hangover, and everyone is just, like, making, like, just chewing, like,
yeah.
That was the clip that he brought. That's why I recommend.
That scene is pretty funny.
Yeah, but yeah, it's Jerry Lewis isn't that attractive of a man. Like, I don't think, like, when they're like, super, look how super attractive he is. I'm like, he looks like he's trying to be Dean Martin.
Yeah, I think he kind of pulled it off.
Yeah, but actually, I did like the scene where the dean, where he meets the dean, like, hey, we want you to sing at the dance, and then he's like, goes in, and he's like, oh, you did some acting, and he kept getting him up on the table to read Shakespeare, and as soon as he was getting, like, one word, no, come down, get up there, come down, and, like, just the, like, never letting him start the thing. I thought that was entertaining as well.
I gave The Nutty Professor from 1963... a 7 out of 10.
I gave The Nutty Professor from 1963 a 6.5.
Sorry, we were trying to remember to say the name when we read.
Yeah, so numerous people have contacted me and saying, yeah, I like listening to your descriptions.
You get to the end of the description, you're like, what movie are you talking about?
I don't know, it sucks. 7, 8. And they're like, what? Wait, what movie was it? Yeah. So I'm trying to...
So yeah, Nutty Professor.
Jerry Lewis.
The next comedy movie I watched was His Girl Friday. Okay, so funny thing, I don't know if it's the DVD or the DVD player, but as soon as I popped the movie in, it started playing.
Yeah.
And then when it got done, it played it again.
Yeah.
So, like, I was watching it, and then, like, I was doing stuff, and it started up again. I'm like, I'll just keep it on in the background while I'm doing stuff. So I watched, like, the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes a second time, and I caught a little more things that I missed the first time.
Okay.
So it brought the rating up a little more, because I'm like, oh, that's clever that they did that.
It's based on a play. It's called The Front...
But now I'm not remembering anything of this movie, except that she's, like, a reporter.
She used to be a reporter. She's quitting to get married. And she's like, I'm leaving the newspaper business. And then her ex-husband, who runs the newspaper, he's like, no, you gotta do one more story. Come on, like, once you get a story going, you're gonna come back and, like, you're gonna love me again because I'm your ex-husband. But then a story broke that a guy killed someone. Shit, what happened? Oh God. Yeah, there's a story, because remember that the guy was going to go to trial for, Jesus Christ. this is good. This is good.
This is good radio.
Yeah, good radio. But anyways, but then there's a story going on. So then she kind of sinks her teeth back into the newspaper life. And
well, she's able to like get interviews and stuff that no one else was able to.
Yeah, because she's that crafty and good. But the thing is, like, the thing I didn't like about it was the main character, not Hildy, but the guy Walter, who's played by Cary Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is old
school. So many Cary Grant stuff.
Well, this is old school. This is old school. Hey, women aren't treated fairly. And he's like, the whole time, he's just kind of. Like, she's going to get married to this dude, and he's trying to find every way he possibly can to break the two up
mm-hmm.
and get them two back together, even though he doesn't really respect her as much.
Right.
But yeah, there's a guy who committed a crime, and she was going to get like an exclusive interview from him. Did he rob a bank? Was that what it was?
Because it had something to do with the gun, I remember that.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It was... Oh, he killed a cop. That's what it was.
He allegedly killed a cop.
He allegedly killed a cop, yeah. So she's trying to figure out that, because they're going to, I think, the death penalty way back then in whatever state they're in,
mm-hmm.
New York, maybe? I'm not sure. But no, it was entertaining. It felt like a play. like old school was mm-hmm. 1936.
Yeah, I didn't even think of it. Oh, this is 1948.
Oh.
40. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm sure it was a play in 1936.
I think I'm just thinking of I transposed the Night Professor,
uh-oh.
63 and 36 probably.
Oh, yeah.
But was it called His Girl Friday because he was going to try to make her his girl on Friday? Like,
I didn't catch why it was called that.
Like, because it's just like, oh, it's Taco Tuesday. It's His Girl Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Maybe. Or it's like Friday night, so let's go do stuff.
His Girl Friday, maybe. I don't know. I kind of like the old...
Please correct us.
Yes, please tell us why. I'm Tony Mayer, and I want to... It was originally Cary Grant. I'm a Cary Grant aficionado. It's me, Michael Caine, from the Jaws movie. I'm also Tony Mayer's voice.
That didn't sound like Michael Caine.
They both sounded like everyone.
That did not sound like Michael Caine at all.
They were so good. You like people are like, whoa, am I listening to Batman Begins? What is this?
I was looking up Cary Grant to see what his most famous role is. Not what I thought it was going to be. The second most famous is what I thought was going to be the most famous.
I can't even think of any Cary Grant movies. Singing in the Rain?
No.
Oh, was that on him? I never saw it.
I thought North by Northwest.
Was that him?
Yeah, was going to be the number one. But apparently it's Charade.
Oh, it's Charade or Charade?
Charade. It's what? No S on the end, but it's with Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn. Everyone's favorite. Oh, no, Arsenic and the Lace. Okay. Anyways, anything else for His Girl Friday? I like all the newspaper stuff.
I do. It took me a bit to get into it, but once I got into it, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of happy I started playing over, because then when I wasn't into it, like, I got more now that I was actually enjoyed the story
uh-huh.
as it went. Like, at first I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What is happening? Like, I don't know who these people are, and I'm supposed to know,
yeah.
like, who is this person in relation to this person, all that stuff. So, like, as you go through the movie, you start connecting the dots and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing the beginning of the movie again, like, oh, okay, so, like, he's trying to marry her, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it. So, I don't know, I liked it a lot. I gave His Girl Friday a 7.5.
I closed my thing. I gave it a 6. What? That doesn't sound right. I mean, I enjoyed it, but yeah. like, it wasn't...
I was enjoying it more the second time around.
Yeah, I guess 6 works.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not a funny movie.
Yeah. Wait a... These lists...
This isn't funny.
This is...
It was a good movie, but I don't know if it's a comedy.
IMDb says it's a comedy, drama, romance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's first genre. Oh, boy. Every trick in the book. I mean, I could see where the points would be funny. Like, oh, just fucking with the fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I gave His Girl Friday a 6. Feel bad.
Mm-hmm. And the next comedy movie we watched, another movie that I thought... Well, I guess I did laugh at this one. 48 Hours... Is it Nick Nolte?
Nick Nolte. No N at the end. Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte. He was the straight man, yeah. But he was the funniest. Like, this is Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte, and Eddie Murphy was the comic relief, but Nick played the straight character, which made his jokes even funnier when he's just, like, responding to stuff that Eddie Murphy says, like, seriously responds to what Eddie Murphy's, like, saying as a joke.
Yeah.
It just made it so much funnier. I don't know. Like, I guess that's why they have the straight man and comedy routine.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Like, this is, like, proof.
This is proof that it works instead of having two funny people. Yeah. That's why, like, buddy... This is a buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
This is definitely a buddy cop movie.
Well, the movie, it's about this guy who's trying to track down this villain... Not villain. This guy who escaped from a jail... From a jail line. What is it? A jail line?
Working the
chain gang.
Chain gang.
This guy escapes from a chain gang. And then, so he's like, I gotta find him. And then, so he kind of tracks down one of this dude. Like, because he was in jail for, like, robbing a bank or something like that. Or mm-hmm. I can't remember. Everything's robbing a bank these days.
Yeah. Say robbing a bank.
That's the generic, like, if we don't know.
Well, he went to jail. Yeah, he robbed a bank. It's like playing Nintendo.
Why? Yeah, it's like Friday the 13th. What happened? This guy, he went to camp. He just robbed a bunch of banks.
No, that's murder. That's different.
That's a crime, though.
Oh, that's true.
That's a crime.
It's a stole car.
But,
going to see six robbing banks.
Robbing banks. But Eddie Murphy was, like, one of his previous partners, mm-hmm. and he's like, hey, I'll get you out of jail if you help me track this dude down. So it's kind of a buddy cop movie, but, like, they're buddy, but they hate each other. Yeah.
I consider it a buddy cop, even though it's, like, because it's usually a straight-edge cop and some kooky sidekick.
Yeah.
And the kooky sidekick is a criminal in this case. And then they give him 48 hours to find the guy. Otherwise, he's back in jail.
Yeah.
Or prison or whatever it was. And that's why the movie's called 48 Hours.
Which they made another 48 Hours.
Yeah, which I didn't see.
It's called another 48 Hours.
I know. I was told, someone told me at work that if I like the first one, I should watch the second one. So I'll have to watch the second one at some time. Because apparently... Oh, no. I got a lower score. I was going to say, if people liked it better, no, they didn't. I don't know what else to say about this movie.
Yeah. It still was in the 70s. I want to say this was made in the 70s.
82.
Okay. they do drop the N-bomb quite a few times.
Not nearly as much as that Mel Brooks movie we watched.
Yeah,
last month.
Boys and Saddles, yeah.
Yeah, that was worse. Like, I almost did catch some of them. Like, yeah. I caught a couple, but...
I think the bar fight scene... In the part when they're fighting about outside by the car.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that, I think the reason why it stuck out to me, because, like, in Blazing Saddles, like, yeah, we're in the West, look at these, blah, 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 and you're like, oh, okay, that's not cool.
That's not cool.
But then this one's like, you're just, and he says it hatefully, I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick, calm down.
Yeah. I liked this movie quite a bit.
I enjoyed it.
I got done watching it, I'm like, I'm glad I watched this movie. Like, some of these, it's like, okay, yeah, I watched it, you know, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I'm glad I watched. Like, it was more entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of you might know this. I'm not a huge Eddie Murphy fan.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Eddie Murphy fan. That's why I watched The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
It was on TV at work, and I was trying not to watch it. And scenes I watched, it's just farting. It's just a bunch of fat suits and farting.
Yeah.
That's the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you what the plot was.
They fart.
They have a cookout, and they're going to eat food. Oh, beans, brr, 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 brr. That's the clumps.
Yeah, and then they fart and they laugh a lot.
But on the other spectrum, a better comedy, I guess. 48 Hours.
I was going to say, the genre of buddy cop, like, movies, like, there's some that, like, I enjoy a lot, but yeah. There's, like, that genre.
Some are forced.
Yeah, the genre as a whole, I never really was intrigued by.
And you got that new one, that's Stuber. I'm like, that's a unique take on buddy cop, but I've heard not good reviews. Yeah. Like, the actors did the best they could with a bad script, is what it sounds like. And I'm like, that's a shame, because apparently they had great on-screen chemistry and stuff. But anyway, back to 48 Hours. I liked it a lot.
Oh, and Annette O'Toole was in it.
Yeah.
Who I
From Smallville.
From Smallville. And the Cat People.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You saw the Cat People.
And something else I recently just watched. Oh, no, we're talking about It.
Oh.
The miniseries.
Superman. She was...
She's grown up Beverly Marsh in the It TV movie.
She was Lana Lang in the Superman movies.
Yeah. And then Clark's mom.
And then she became Clark's mom.
And then she became Cat People. Oh, and then also she was 11-22-63.
Oh, yeah.
She was the little Baptist lady.
Yeah. So I gave 48 hours an 8. 48.
And then to make up the difference, I gave it a 6. Because it's between 4 and 8. Oh. It's between 4 and 8.
And then...
No way, I didn't. I gave it a 6.5.
Oh, God, now you really did get it.
48 hours is 6. Can't.
The last movie we watched on this list for the month was Doctor Strangelove, or How to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, I believe.
All I did was write Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah.
There's no way it fits in that cell on my spreadsheet if I type the whole thing.
Or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
So I had it close. I just didn't say how I stopped.
I watched this with my girlfriend. Because she's like, I'll watch it.
This is such a weird movie.
I was reading some of the trivia and facts about it.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, they initially started writing it as a actual drama. And then they said, fuck it. We're going to make it funny. And George C. Scott, the guy who was like the commander dude or whatever, they told... when they're doing his scenes, they're like, Just for like, and he's worried that his character's being too wacky. So no, just amp it up on these test shoots, and then we'll shoot it, and then they use like when he's like they tricked him into amping it up, and they actually use that footage for the movie, and they just like tricked him into like doing that stuff, and like that's amazing because his character is fucking nuts.
Yeah, but like something like this movie, you have to make it serious. Or you got to make it a comedy. If people see this as a serious movie, you are not going to stop worrying and freaking love the bomb. You are, like, I'm watching this and all this shit going on with Russia and North Korea right now.
Yeah.
I felt was too real while I was watching this movie. So, like, I wouldn't have been able to watch this if it wasn't a comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't think you thought that when you made it in, like, the 60s.
Well, it was the Cold War, right?
Maybe. Is the Cold War... No, the Cold War was with Cuba, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was the... Well, that was the Cuban...
Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about history.
Cuba...
Russia.
Cuba and Russia were the communist... It was the communist stuff.
Yeah. I don't know
anything. And I'm pretty sure, because there's the Russian communist flag on the DVD cover. The Nuclear Holocaust.
Yeah.
They called it.
But anyways,
I'm not a history professor.
But anyways, the summary of the movie is that it takes place during like the Russian and American like angry tussle.
Yeah, it's the
like the missile.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty much like the Cold War, tensions are rising.
Yeah. But then one of the commanders
says,
like,
we have to do the attack.
Yeah, he's like, we got to do this certain attack, and basically they shut down the communication, and then you find out later like, oh, he's just paranoid and crazy.
Yeah. And they found out that the nuclear attack on the Soviet Union... We keep saying Russia.
USSR.
This was before that. That they're like, oh, okay. There's, like, no way to stop it once it's put into motion.
Yeah.
So they're trying to stop it, but they can't. And so we have, like, the two guys that are in the office or whatever, at the...
Peter Sellers and...
The barracks or whatever.
Yeah.
He's trying to get the secret code word from him to stop it. Then we got the people in the planes that are going to drop the bomb.
Yeah.
And then you got all the people in the war room.
Trying, like, there's no fighting in the war room.
So, like, there's, like, three different stories going on, and there's, like, no communication between the three, So they're all, like, thinking... This is happening. This is real. Or this is like, this isn't happening. This is just a test. And then, like, we got to stop this. So it's kind of interesting when it jumps between the three.
And the reason why they need to stop it is because if anything gets bombed on Russian or the USSR, the doomsday machine will go off and just kill everybody.
Yeah. So it'll kill the whole planet. which, yeah, was not a great idea, but...
But yeah, we were watching it, I started watching it, and Kristen got bored, because the beginning is a little slow. Yeah,
it takes a bit.
And she fell asleep.
Once the war room stuff gets crazy, yeah, like, that stuff gets entertaining.
My favorite part is when Peter Sellers is like...
Yeah, he plays multiple characters.
Yeah, he plays Dr. Strangelove. Right?
Yeah, he plays the president, Dr. Strangelove, and then group captain, Lionel Mandrake.
Yeah, Mandrake. He's the one that, like, yeah. So Mandrake, he's trying to call the president. He'd be like, I gotta call the president, and this. Yes, the president of the United States. And then he's like, it costs this much sense. He's like, do you have any money? Oh, no. Shoot that vending machine. He's like, no. He's like, no, shoot it. This is a little
changed.
He's like, if you're wrong, you have to deal with the Coca-Cola company.
But it's like, it doesn't matter. There's going to be no world if you don't stop this.
I'm just like, you're going to be in trouble with the Coca-Cola company.
Right. Let's see this is more pressing. I thought it was entertaining. Yeah, it is a slow start, but...
And it's a short...
It's a pretty short movie.
90 minutes, I think.
I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah.
Maybe... I hate to say it, but maybe it just felt that way. Because the beginning is slow start.
Yeah.
Because you gotta do all the setup and all that stuff.
And also a lot of the setup is just like, it's legit, like, alright, driving on this, it's just like airplane jargon.
You know, we're not big war movie
people. Yeah.
But I gave it an 8.
I gave Dr. Strangelove...
How I Stopped Worrying...
Bombs.
How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb.
I gave it a 7.
I think I said it right.
Correct.
It's Dr. Strangelove. That's what they call it. There's no other movie called Dr. Strangelove.
And the prequel is Weird Dr. Strange. Very different.
Very different. There was supposed to be a sequel to this movie.
I meant prequel.
I know. You said the first one.
I don't know what I'm doing.
He said prequel, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But I said they're going to make a sequel called The Son of Dr. Strangelove. And it was going to be a Terry Gilliam movie taking place after the world's been nuked and stuff. And they're in their underground bunker and stuff. Because that's what he, like, proposes in the movie.
Yeah. All the ladies.
All the ladies will be having all the babies.
Is that a direct quote?
No, it is definitely not a direct quote. So yeah, that's the 4 comedy movies we watched this month.
Okay.
And then this is the other movies we watched this month.
Speaking of buddy cop movies, I watched 2 of them.
Bad Boys,
no,
1 and 2.
No. Oh. Rush Hour, 1 and 2.
Oh, Jesus.
I've
never seen these movies, so.
You've never seen them?
I've never seen.
So the first movie.
No one understands when you talk like that, or something like that.
That's exactly. Especially talking like that.
that was in the movie.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of your mouth?
That's what it is.
Man, no one understands the words that come out of your mouth.
No one understands you talking like that. I like mine better.
But, because I one I got it as a gift from someone, and another one I got at Roman Show for like a quarter. But the first one, I actually like it a lot. What happens is, oh God, where is he from? Oh, God, I'm going to be racist.
Brooklyn.
No, Jackie Chan's character. I want to say China? That sound right?
I did not watch the movie.
Anyways, like, oh, God, I'm typing and trying to talk. Rush Hour.
I got it.
Okay. So the very beginning of the movie,
Hong Kong. He's a Hong Kong inspector.
That's China, right? I failed geography twice.
I think it is.
Anyways, Chinese, yes, okay, Chinese consul, all right. So one of the guys, the ambassador of China, moves to America, and then while he's here, someone kidnaps his daughter. So they go, oh shit, this is FBI.
Yeah, Chinese.
This is FBI territory. We need to take care of this. But then council member, whatever. Ambassador.
Chinese consul.
They bring Jackie Chan in. He's like, oh, he's a great guy. He'll do this. Like, he'll help us out. So they bring him in. And the FBI is like, no, we don't want to deal with him because we're the FBI. We can do this on our own. So they bring Chris Tucker's character in, who's kind of like a loose cannon. And like, hey, we're going to put you on a special assignment. Just show this guy around downtown. Just lead him around. Get him out of our hair. But of course, Jackie Chan's character is like, no, I need to help figure out this thing. So then it's a little fight thing between Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker's characters where he's like trying to keep him in place, where he's trying to solve the crime, and then Jackie Chan's trying to get away to solve the crime. And it's actually pretty good. I enjoyed it a lot. It's I liked it. I don't know what to say because it came out like 98. But it's actually a buddy comedy movie, and Jackie Chan's just awesome because he's Jackie Chan. And Chris Tucker, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Tucker, I enjoy him in this movie.
I just don't understand where talking really loud is funny.
Yeah.
And that's what he does a lot of.
Yeah.
And talking fast, loud and fast.
Well, it's a nice counterbalance to Jackie Chan, who's like,
yeah,
who just does a lot of physical bits and like is quiet, and then he's just whatever. But my favorite Chris Tucker role outside of Fifth Element.
He's annoying in Fifth Element.
God damn it, it's so fun though. Come in. But I gave the first Rush Hour, I gave it a 7.5. So I enjoyed that, and then I watched the second one, where
this one takes place in China, I'm guessing.
Yes,
because you got to flip it.
Yeah, because after this whole thing, he's like, "Oh, we need to go on vacation." So then Chris Tucker heads back to China with Jackie Chan. He's like, "All right, I'm going on vacation. You need to show me around all these different places." But then this whole story emerges of like Jackie Chan's past of like because his dad was a cop. Mm-hmm. Who got killed on the job, and like, and the villain that killed his dad is like in charge of this whole operation, and I think the Yakuza are involved and stuff like that. Not as good as the first one, but they brought back some jokes and they worked. Because the first one, he's like, Chris Tucker says something like, "Do you understand the words that are coming?" Because he's talking to Jackie Chan. He's just
there. There was a third one.
Yeah, there was. In 2007, I think.
Yeah.
But he's like, Chris Tucker is talking to Jackie Chan. He's like, "Hey, you need to do this." And Jackie Chan just stares at him. He's like, "Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" And then the second one, Jackie Chan says, "Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" He's like, "Man, no one understands the words coming out of your mouth." And like, that's a nice callback from the jokes. And then Don't Touch Your Black Man's Radio. And then in China, he like ejects a Beach Boys CD. He's like, "Don't touch a Chinaman CD player." I don't know. The second one isn't as good. I gave it a 6.5 because it's still fun. But the first one is actually, I don't know, it's a pretty good movie. Rush Hour 1, 7.5. Rush Hour 2, 6.5.
Nice.
I need to see the third one yet because I haven't seen it, but I can't imagine
it's probably worse. It'll gradually go downhill.
Speaking of worse, did you know they made a TV show?
Yeah, apparently it did pretty well, I thought.
Did it? It lasted one season, and it got a 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Mm-hmm. The picture of...
Oh, I'm thinking of Lethal Weapon.
The picture...
They turned Lethal Weapon into a show.
Doesn't look like a real picture.
That looks like a fake one.
It looks like when you go to Halloween time and you buy a costume like, "I'm gonna be a detective."
It looks like when you're watching a show and they have fake movie posters.
Yes. Go to IMDb, look at the Rush Hour
TV show,
and the poster is so great.
It's like that on Arrested Development, the homeless... Dad or
Oh yeah. Want my kids back.
So I watched two movies back to back. I watched The Death of Superman.
Oh.
And The Reign of Supermen.
Oh, the cartoon ones.
The cartoon ones. The Death of Superman came out in...
I'm sorry. The animated films.
Animated features. 2018, and then The Reign of Superman came out this year, 2019.
Superman.
It was pretty good. I never saw the original animated Death of Superman cartoon.
Okay.
But I heard this one's better anyway. What was I going to say? The voice acting, like... Superman. The voice acting of this, like, the choices they picked were very weird. Because Jerry O'Connell was the voice of Superman, which felt weird. Rebecca Romijn was Lois Lane. It's like these are like famous people, but you don't think of them as voice actors. Yeah,
it doesn't line up with like it. They're fine, but like
Rainn Wilson as Lex Luthor.
Rosario Dawson
is the voice of Wonder Woman.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion is Green Lantern.
That always works.
I don't know who some of these other people are, but those are the big names.
Oh yeah, I think I'll look this up. What is this called again?
The Death of Superman.
Why can't I find this?
I don't know. But in case you don't know anything about comic books, there was like this big Superman thing in the '90s where they killed off Superman. They created this character called Doomsday, and Superman fights him to the death, and they both die, and that's the premise of this movie. But the Justice League have a way bigger part in this movie than I thought they did in the book.
Okay.
I don't know. It was entertaining. It was interesting because whenever they release these animated features, you're like, this is what the freaking movie should have been.
Yeah.
When they did Batman v Superman, it was basically like the Death of Superman story. I'm like, this is what Death of Superman should have been. And then after...
The guy who played Batman in quite a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the Reign of Superman.
Did they, at the end credits, did they, like, do a parody? It's a Reign in Superman.
No.
Oh, that's...
They did not.
That's what I should have done.
Reign.
R-E-I-G-N.
I know. For some reason, I put an H in there.
I can see that.
Yeah. So then the Reign of Superman takes place after that movie. Superman's dead. So a bunch of other people come forward and say, Superman was a great icon, we should still have Superman. So then you get this guy who plays Steel, he creates an entire iron suit. He made a bad movie back in the '90s with Shaq. And then there's like Lex Luthor cloned Superman, so there's Superboy. The voice of Superboy was... Oh, it was the kid who... who is the fake Joker on Gotham.
Okay.
Is the voice of Superboy. All
right.
And then there was, like, a cyborg Superman who's evil. And then there was, like, the Eradicator from Krypton and stuff like that. But it was them showing up, and then eventually Superman, they bring him back to life, and they show all that stuff.
Because he was just sleeping.
They had to, like, revive him and stuff. He died, but he came back. But the Fortress of Solitude was what helped bring him back to life and stuff like that. But they were entertaining. I mean...
Yeah, I hear that about the DC animated
films are way truer to the comics than the other DC movies.
Yeah.
They put a lot more time and effort into the animated features. So, I don't know. I should watch these because they're on the DC Universe
app. It's easier to make people fly and look good in cartoons than in movies.
But it's weird because some people rip on this animation style because it's very anime-ish.
It's very still until they move.
No, it's not. It's more anime style. Like, they don't look like American cartoons.
But they have, like, big jaws, like, big flat jaws. And
it's like Japanese anime depiction of U.S. cartoons, kind of. But anyway, The Death of Superman, I gave a 7.5. Reign of Superman, I gave a 7.
All right.
Yeah. The next movie I know you watched.
Oh.
Or do you not want to go there yet?
Well, I'll do this one more.
Okay.
One more. So one of the movies,
this one first. You
one, yeah. What, the movie I watched, I haven't seen it in a long time. It's a little movie called The Craft. Remember that movie?
Yeah. I remember watching that a lot. It was like in the 90s.
Yeah, like 97, I think.
Yeah. I remember watching that in college quite a bit.
Yeah, that's we were watching that movie. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I was mentioning The Faculty, and Chris was like, I don't know what Faculty is. I'm like, it's like along the same line. It's like, yeah.
Well, it was also like The Craft in college. I knew some Wiccans and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, some of this stuff is pretty accurate. Some of it's really far off. I mean, that's like most exaggerated things, but.
Don't push the button.
Don't push
the cat toys are going off. But yeah, The Craft is about a girl that moves, her family moves into town, and then she's kind of a loner because she's the new kid, but then she kind of gets enveloped into this group of three girls who are like witches. They need to find a fourth because the four directions, the north, south, east, west, and some of that, and the animals, whatever. All the
or the four elements, if you
It was because the four elements happened too and stuff, and but I typed cracked 96. I was wrong, but then like
that's right. I said the 90s.
But then as they're like they're getting stronger and doing magic and stuff, and like they're kind of fixing their own problems. But then one of the girls, her main problem is that she wants more power. Where one girl's like, I have scars all over my body from bad things that happened when I was a kid. Another one's like, oh, I wish I had money. Or not.
I'm surprised they haven't remade this yet.
I thought they were going to. I thought I heard they're writing a script to remake it. But yeah, oh boy. But then, yeah, the one girl starts like getting more and more powerful, and they're like, we need to stop her. The other one's like, no. You're just trying to... You think you're so good and so powerful. And they kind of team up against the new girl. And a lot of stuff happens. But it's a fun... It's like a fun... Watch. If I haven't seen it before and I watch it now, like, I'm sure I wouldn't like it as much. But, like, because I was in, like, middle school when it came out. And I think that's where my love of, like, goths... and weird, like, piercings and stuff came from.
I think that the hugest crush on that main girl...
Yeah,
red-headed girl.
Yeah, she's all four of them are.
Yeah, but I'm just remembering in that movie,
Robin Tunney.
Yeah,
which in case you didn't know, she was also in Empire Records. She was the one with the shaved her head and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
She's a good actress. But yeah, the movie The Craft. I liked it. I gave it a 7. Give it a 7.
I'd probably give it like a 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Well, it was at Mojo's for $3 and it was unopened. So I'm like, yeah.
At least you know it's not scratched.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, we're watching this.
That was a pretty good movie. I probably would have done the same thing, maybe.
Yeah.
So the next movie we both watched, not at the same time.
No.
Was Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yes.
So this was a movie that I wanted to see in the theater, but I didn't get a chance
to. Yeah, we saw previews for it when we still had MoviePass.
Yeah.
And we're like,
but I was still going to go, even without MoviePass.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to.
Yep. Well, it
came out around Christmas, I think.
I think it was like November.
November, yeah. And there was like a couple movies at that time that were coming out I wanted to see, and I didn't get a chance to see.
Yeah, like Spider-Verse, and I saw that later.
Star is Born.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, there was a couple I really wanted to see in the theater. But Bad Times at the El Royale... takes place, it says circa 1969.
Yeah. It was late 60s, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was the late 60s because it had to do with JFK and stuff. But anyway, there's like a bunch of people who are checking into this hotel that was huge back in the day.
Like back in the early 60s, late 50s.
Right, because it's Nevada and California. It's on the border of Nevada and California. And it was a huge, like, early 60s, like, destination hotel. The movie takes place mostly in, like, 1969, where the hotel hasn't been used in quite a while. It's kind of gone down.
It gets used, but it doesn't get used.
Right. So,
still open.
Yeah, because there's, like, one employee working the entire place. Like, he takes care of the front desk, he cleans the rooms, he does everything.
Bartender.
Bartender, yeah. So, it starts with a couple of people coming into getting a room. It's the priest and...
It's the priest, it's the vacuum salesman,
yeah.
The girl who's just like, hates
right.
everybody,
so
and then the singer.
So all three of them come
four.
In to check... Oh, and the singer.
Because the singer, yeah.
She's yeah. So those four check into the hotel and is like, the guy who's at the front desk is kind of shocked because like no one has checked in a long time and now there's a rush. And they're like, just take whatever room you want and blah, blah, blah. But then... as it unfolds, you start learning more of the backstory of each of the characters. This movie is... very unique in its storytelling because it'll be like, okay, here's a scene. Okay, now we're going to show you what happened in this room.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, now that you saw that, let's go back into their story a little bit. And then you get like backstory of that character. Then it goes to another room.
The movie is chronological in its own segments.
Right. So like each segment, they got title cards. Like, at first I was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of Four Rooms.
Yeah.
But they're obviously more entangled than you thought.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, the tension just grows as the movie goes because you're like, curious.
And, yeah, and the mystery in it is so deep.
And by the end of it, like, oh, that's what this whole thing was about. It's kind of interesting. But
without actually telling you, though, too.
Right. Yeah, they didn't tell you because you're like, is this what they're hinting at? So, like, I wanted to watch it again to see if that's what they're hinting at the whole freaking movie.
But it couldn't have been that, though, because that film wasn't his, though, because... Oh, they did mention he's...
Dead. Yeah.
I didn't even think it was him.
I did.
Because, like, why would they... Because I was like...
We could talk about this after the podcast. I don't want to ruin it because it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
The casting on this was phenomenal. Like, every single person, like, nailed their character.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges is just awesome. I always forget how great Jeff Bridges is. And then, like...
No.
And then a role like this comes in. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Same with John Hamm.
John Hamm, I don't dislike anything he's
been in. But I'm just saying, like, his character in this was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with Chris Hemsworth's character. Chris Hemsworth is good. Oh, my God.
I don't like Dakota Johnson.
No, but...
But her character was...
Yeah,
I liked it. You felt for her.
Yeah. And then her sister.
You liked it, too.
She didn't see the movie.
Well, check it out. It's right over there.
It's right over there. Let's watch it in the background. Yeah, I don't know. There was everything about it. I loved it. And then I watched it on HBO. Then I'm like, I'm going to buy this movie. And then Scott texts me, it's on sale. I'm like, pick it up. I want to watch it again.
Must have been for their Sony, like, E3 thing.
Yeah, must have. Is it a Sony film?
I'm pretty sure.
It doesn't matter.
Because Venom was the same thing where it was on sale. And then the next week came back and was like, hey, it's on sale for $23. I'm like, well, I paid less than half of that.
Yeah, I don't know where it says that on here. Right. But anyway, I love the movie. I gave it a 9.
I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 9 out of 10.
I gave it an 8. We were watching it. We're like,
Bad Times at the El Royale.
Bad Times at El Royale. I get 8. The funny thing is, we were watching it, and then, like, something happened, and, like, we both look at each other, and we go, this is really good. And I'm like, this movie is, like, two hours and 15 minutes long. And I hope it's longer.
Yeah, it did not feel that long either.
But then, like, by the end, I was like, okay, this is... And then, it's God damn it, there's a part right near the end where, like, one of the characters says something, and we just turn to each other and go, what the fuck? And then they have the title card, and you follow the character and go, oh, that's what they meant. Damn it. We were so excited, like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, okay, so the guy who made this movie, he also did Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
And a bunch of Lost episodes.
Yeesh, I know.
He did a couple episodes of Daredevil, TV show and stuff. So he's got a good track record. It
sure does.
But yeah, Bad Times at the El Royale. Loved it. 9.
The next movie I watched...
That's not counting this.
So yeah. Oh, that is counting that.
So then...
I feel bad about this because I make my girlfriend watch a lot of movies... And then when she's like, I want to watch this movie, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to say no, because that's a dick thing to do. I like showing her all these movies, and someone, she's like, that wasn't good. And then she's like, this one, I'm like, all right, cool, yeah. I'm like, I'm never going to say no to a movie, because I'll watch, like, who knows? Like,
yeah, because there's, like, a couple movies where I've watched, I never would have watched them.
Yeah.
But then I watched them, like, oh, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
How she always brings up, like, I'm surprised how much you like Chicago. I'm like, it was good. I liked the movie Chicago.
Bring It On is a good movie.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah, I love Josie and the Pussycats.
So we watched the movie Titus, which is Anthony Hopkins.
Now, it's not the TV show.
No.
The guy who works on trucks.
I like books. I, however, am not a huge fan of... Uh-oh. What's his name? Shakespeare.
Yeah, this is Shakespearean one, isn't it?
This is a movie based on...
William Shakespeare's story.
William Shakespeare's book, Andromeda Strain? Nope, that's... What is it called?
I don't know.
Titus Andronicus. Titus Andronicus. Have you ever read that book?
Nope.
Check it out in this weird movie.
1999.
Yeah.
Alan Cummings is in it.
Yeah, Alan Cummings is in it. Anthony Hopkins. We got Jessica Lange.
Mm-hmm. That guy. Where's he from?
If you ever watched, The Americans, that guy's in it.
Oh, that's what he's from.
But I know this dude, the middle one.
Oh no, that's not.
Yeah. Him, Matthew Rhys is the guy I was talking about. So it's confusing to me because I don't understand Shakespeare, and they...
I was talking about this guy. I don't know where he's from.
Oh, okay. But they basically... The lyrics to the movie...
The lyrics?
Are the screenplay.
The script?
The script. All the words they say are basically... Probably word for word.
Oh, so they do Shakespearean talking the whole time?
Yes.
I don't like that. Adapt it for me. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more.
If I wanted to hear the Shakespearean stuff, I would have saw the play or read the...
But part of the problem that I had, too, though, is I was watching it, and people, especially when they have these overly large, like, outfits on, I'm like... Is that the same guy as that guy? Because I couldn't see his hair before, and he's blonde. Was he blonde before? Is this the same guy? I couldn't, because I have, like, my partial face blindness or something. I'm like, I don't know if this is the same guy. But anyway,
like that with some of the older movies. Like, the, you know, the black and white movies where the female lead, a lot of the female leads look the same.
Yeah, because they, like, they, this is the type that sells.
Yeah, let's make this girl look hot. And this one, it hot too, and the look is the exact same.
Yeah, because of all the hair. But no, the movie is about Titus, who's like this warrior. He played Anthony Hopkins, so he's been at war forever, and he comes home, and then this is where it starts getting foggy. But then there's a whole bunch of like the new. He turns back to Rome, and then like. There's a lot of like politics.
What'd you give it?
there's a lot of politics, but also don't go into it just automatically assuming that it's gonna be a normal movie, because at the very beginning there's this kid like just at his lunch table or breakfast dinner, dining room table just beating up toys and like pouring like juice all over him, like what the fuck is happening? And then he like wanders down these stairs and then he's like in Rome. And then he's like kind of like wandering around in the background of all these scenes, just like watching everything unfold. And I'm like, oh, he's just like a weird narrator. And then like halfway through the movie, he starts talking. I'm like, you're getting involved. Stop.
I'm guessing it's probably like Anthony Hopkins' kid or something.
No.
No? Oh.
Just a kid.
Just a kid.
I think he's just a kid. I gave it a 5.5. I'm not smart enough for Shakespeare. I really... People liked it, though. People on IMDb say it's a 7.2. And, yeah.
So, I... What the hell just happened? Is this not on here?
Nope, not on there anymore. They got rid of it all.
I did a search on Rotten Tomatoes. Next movie I'm watching... I'm going to talk about, and it doesn't come up. So apparently it's not a movie.
It's not a real movie.
It's not a real movie.
It's a dream you had. They're in my house. What is the movie? Is it a surprise? Is it a surprise? Is it something scary? Like a cat opening a refrigerator door?
Why?
Like,
how specific?
I mean, like, I just saw the fucking trailer for the Cats movie. I can't not...
Oh, thanks for dating this.
We're late, all right? We have podcast episodes. They're listening to episodes from March.
You're talking about a trailer that just literally dropped today.
Yeah. Well, by the time this comes out in order, it's going to be...
Yeah, everyone will see the trailer.
Yeah. Okay,
so I watched this movie series on Hulu
every month. Into the Dark.
Into the Dark series. Every month they have a new movie, and it's a horror movie based in that month. And this one is for Father's Day.
Oh!
It is called They Come Knocking. So...
Sounds gross.
It's a father and his two daughters. When they were younger, they would go and camp, and they would, like, have a trailer, and they'd go out into the desert, because this takes place in the desert, like, So they go in the desert, and they set up camp, and they would do campfires, and, you know, do normal camping stuff. Well...
Either this sounds familiar, or you told me a little bit about it.
I might have told you a little bit.
Probably.
But, so this movie takes place where he's like, we're going to go on this trip. And the two daughters are like, I don't want to go. And then you find out, like, oh, their mom's dead.
Oh, Jesus. That's why he's taking the trip?
He's doing the trip to commemorate his, like, either his engagement or his first date or whatever with his wife.
Oh, okay.
But they're going on the trip. They're going to go camping and stuff, and he's going to spread the ashes and do that stuff. So they go camping. They, like, on the way to their location or whatever, they stop for food and snacks and stuff like that. And one of the girls keeps seeing this creepy girl, like, hanging around the camper and stuff. And they're like, no one else is noticing this.
Yeah.
And they go in the car, and they go continue on, and they get to this other, they fill up with gas, and that kid's there again. And they're like, okay, whatever. And they get to the campsite, and I'm trying to remember, they're like getting all their stuff ready and stuff like that, and these kids are outside, and they start like banging on the windows and screaming and yelling and stuff. And he's like, the dad like locks the door and says, don't go out there. We don't know what their problem is. And the kid's like, I saw them back at the last place. And like, so they followed us all the way out here. And then I don't want to get too much into the details, but the dad's like, okay, I'm going to go run into town and get something. But then the car won't start.
Because the kid's fucked with it.
Right. So he ends up leaving, and so the two kids are alone in the camper, and he's like, don't answer the door for anybody. And
they do.
So the two, all of a sudden, like, the one girl goes to look for her sister, and she's not there. And she's, like, running around the camper trying to find her, and she can't find her. So then she goes out to try to find her sister, and the dad's like, I told you not to go out, whatever. But he's not there, so she's trying to find her sister, and it gets really creepy. I thought it was a pretty decent movie. It wasn't as good as I was hoping, because, like, a lot of the setup, and I was like, oh, my God. By the end, I was like, really?
Yeah.
But I still thought it was, like, it got me involved in stuff.
Yeah.
People are comparing it to, like, The Hills Have Eyes type
thing. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
But, yeah, it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Father's Day.
I gave it a 7.5. I thought it was a pretty decent one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Into the Dark series. The movie's called They Come Knocking.
They come.
Gave it a 7.5.
Knocking on my door. So the next movie I watched was no. So I messaged Carrie about this because in my mind I thought I heard enough about this movie at this point that
this
I was like,
this would have been a fun one to do as, like, the last movie if you didn't see it.
Yeah, if I didn't know anything about it. And apparently,
I didn't know anything about it.
Well, I know. Okay, the movie I'm talking about is The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
So, it's called The Devil Wears Prada, and the cover is a high heel shoe
with horns.
And then it's got the trident as the back part, the back little stilt.
Heel.
Heel? As the heel? So I'll try to, like, this is, and I was thinking back to the movie, like, The Devil's Advocate. I'm like,
yeah,
this
she's
is
an
where,
devil.
I'm like, this is, she's like, it's
like
the
bedazzled.
Devil. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, it's the devil who runs this, this fashion, business. And it's not, she's just a mean lady.
Yeah.
She does.
I thought it was too. I thought it was the devil. I didn't watch the movie though.
I don't know anything about clothes, so I'm not sure if she did wear Prada, but they did lie about the devil part.
She does not wear Prada. She wears Gucci.
But
is that a clothing? No,
yeah.
It's a purse. I know it's a purse.
They say so many.
Prada's a purse too, isn't it?
Probably.
They make everything.
Yeah, Prada makes everything. Prada makes sunglasses and TV shows. Why not?
TV show?
Probably.
The new streaming service from Prada.
The Delaware's Prada as a TV show would probably be really boring. Because it's not about the business, it's about the girl.
Oh.
Well, it's about... Okay, sorry.
Do they work in a clothing business?
Hold on. I'll explain. The show is... The movie...
You should call a movie Prada if there's no clothing involved.
So what happens is... I kind of don't want to look up the thing, so then I just have Carrie correct me. So Anne Hathaway is she wants to become a writer and work in a newspaper. So she's like, "Well, I'll just get this internship at this magazine." And the magazine is called
Meryl Streep. That's right.
What's it called, Runway or something, or Fashion? Fashion.
It's a high fashion magazine,
highfalutin. And she tries out as a intern, and she has no sense of style whatsoever. I mean, she walks in there like a silly Billy. But then she has the tenacity that she, like, just doesn't let anything bother her. So then her and... what's her name already? The
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep is the boss.
Oh, Stanley Tucci's in
it. Stanley Tucci's in it, and I love Stanley Tucci.
We were just talking about Stanley Tucci at work yesterday.
He's a great actor. Everything I've seen him in.
there was a match game, and this annoying gay guy was like one of the contestants, and like he's the celebrity, and they're like, who is that? Oh, that was the guy from Hunger Games. And he was like, no, that's Stanley Tucci. Because he kind of looked like him.
Stanley Tucci's awesome. Anyways, but Stanley Tucci's like her assistant. Emily Blunt's one of the receptionists. Anyways, Emily Blunt is like trying to like teach Anne Hathaway the ropes, like this is what you have to do, you have to do this, 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 don't screw anything up. And then but then she like just kind of like deals with a lot of bullshit that other helpers don't help with and some of that, and like, and she's kind of like
the entourage guy. Yeah,
he'd be a little. Oh yeah, the guy who plays Johnny Entourage.
Yep,
the main dude from Entourage. Yeah, I looked that up too.
Johnny Entourage. It's named after him.
Johnny Biscuits. that's her boyfriend, and then he starts being like, you care more about your job than me. And she's like, no, I like you, and I like my job. Because then she starts, like, getting into more fashion and wearing, like, fancy clothes and stuff like that. And it
called him Johnny Hunter. His name is Vince. Sorry, continue. You're thinking of Johnny Drama.
Oh, Jesus.
Johnny Drama.
Drama. It would have been cooler if she actually did... was the devil.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, it wasn't bad. Like I said, Kristen made me watch... Or I shouldn't say made me watch it. Kristen wanted to watch it, and I said, okay. And she, then halfway through it, she's like... She turns to me, she's like, you don't like this, do you? I'm like, oh, no, this is, like, not the worst movie you made me watch.
That was Titus.
No, that was Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah. That's
no, I actually, the Dolores Prada, I could see where people like it. I was, actually, when we stopped numerous times to, like, get up and get drinks and stuff like that, and, like, I think this is what's going to happen, and this person should do this, and then she's like, just keep watching. I'm like, I think this is what's going to happen. I think he's going to do this, and she's going to say this, and then she's like...
Gossiping Carol.
And I was wrong on both of them. But I gave The Devil Wears Prada 6.5.
Nice.
So I liked it more than some of the movies this month.
So I watched a movie. A movie that we also were going to watch if MoviePass still existed.
Uh-oh.
And this Predators. One, this one we weren't going to watch if MoviePass didn't exist, so we didn't go to the theater to see it.
Is it that dog one with Will Arnett?
No!
Top Dog?
Top Dog. God damn it, I forgot about that movie. Oh, no. No, this is not even close to that. This was called The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mila Kunis and the other one.
Why is she not the top bill? That's not nice. Kate McKinnon and Mila Kunis, they're not first billed. Like, number 2 and 3, I don't even have pictures on IMDb.
What is him?
And he's just called Little Girl. And Vendor.
I think maybe it's an order of appearance.
Cast overview, first build only.
It's not top build, it's first build. So, like, the first person on the screen.
Oh, okay.
That's.
Okay. So, anyway, the movie, Mila Kunis's character, her boyfriend just broke up with her. He's a spy. Justin Theroux is the spy. But she dumps him, and then, like, on her birthday and stuff, she gives him a call, like, to, like, yell at him and stuff like that, and he answers, and he's like, no, you gotta do this, da 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 da, and he starts telling her this stuff. And then he shows up at her house and says, if I don't make this out alive, you gotta deliver this to such and such. She's like, what are you talking about? And then he ends up getting shot and killed. So then she finds out, like, that he was a spy, and this is, like, secret information in this trophy. It's like a hidden device thing. So then they go to this location where she's supposed to meet up with this person. But then they find out that someone there wants to kill them, so they, like, escape. And then they're trying to figure out what to do. But Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon's characters...
Did you say Mila Kunis?
I don't know.
Kunis.
Okay, Audrey and Morgan. They're roommates.
Those are characters from Red Dead Redemption.
They're roommates, and they're trying to figure this whole thing out. And then there's, like, I think it's, like, the CIA and Interpol and all this stuff, like, all these different organizations, and they're going around the world. And I just kept thinking of that movie Heat that we watched.
Yeah.
But this is, like, a better version of that movie.
Because
it was funny.
I was gonna say, plus it's a fish out of water story where they're not used to being spies,
right?
Where she's like, "I can do this." They go, "Oh, we don't believe you." Oh, she can.
And it was, and it's a good combo too, because Mila is the straight character, and Kate is like the wild card.
Is she Australian or something in the movie?
No, but she fakes an Australian accent for part of it. But yeah, so like it. It was like, it's almost like a buddy cop movie of sorts. But yeah, I thought it was very entertaining. It had some gross out humor in it, and I was watching some like, oh, this is definitely rated R, isn't this? It was. But I can't even think of any of the scenes right now that were really funny. But just trust me, it was a funny movie. The Spy Who Dumped Me, I gave it an 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was really entertaining. It was one of those movies that I'm like, I'm just going to watch this, and it's going to be like a dumb comedy that I can just like shut off to and watch it. And it was more entertaining than that. So, because I think it was after a long day at work, I'm like, I just need to
turn off my brain.
Yeah, turn off my brain. Oh, this just got put on HBO. I'll watch it. And then, yeah, it was way better. So that was The Spy Who Dumped Me. I gave it an 8 out of 10.
The last movie I watched this month.
The last
movie is a little movie called.
I feel like we do that every month.
Probably. Is a movie called The. Oh God. Brain Pooped. Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh God, that's not even close to brain.
I had a brain thing.
Oh.
I had a brain thing. I wasn't describing the movie.
I thought you were.
I think I started saying prop. Drop Dead Gorgeous. It takes place in, oh God, I want to say Mount Rose, Minnesota.
I was just going to say Minnesota.
It takes place in Minnesota. And, oh gosh, all the accents are fantastic.
They just put this movie on Hulu. Like, just dropped on Hulu.
Yeah, I know. We watched it, and then like 2 days later, you know, Dean?
Yeah.
He, like, his profile picture and his cover photo were so all like Drop Dead Gorgeous.
I said Hulu and just watched it after.
But I own the DVD.
Because it kept popping up as a suggestion. Like, you should watch this movie. I'm like, no.
But it's a little Miss Pretty, or whatever it's called.
It's a beauty pageant.
A beauty pageant by this, like, this makeup company. And you follow a couple of the main contestants, as they go through, like, all these, as they're like, going through, like, it's almost like a documentary type movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it kind of reminds me of, like.
Oh, it is a documentary movie. The voice of the narrator, the guy who's doing the documentary, is Thomas Lennon.
Oh, is it?
Nice. Yeah.
I love Thomas Lennon.
But they're going through and, like, showing, like, oh, like, here's the really rich girl who's, like, her mom was, like, the winner. And then here's the one that, like, their mom is, like, you know, like, she's, like, kind of the poor. She works at a morgue. And then here's this one, like, just all these different characters. And some of the comedy in the movie is so good. And Will Sasso, I've never laughed so much at Will Sasso before, because he's one of the judges' brothers, but he's, like, simple. And, like, he's just in the background, just, like, yelling Craig. When Craig, like,
tries to be a little child.
Yeah, it's it, like, just giggles. That's Will Sasso's character. Just, I'm going to do this. And, like, what are you doing? Brittany Murphy is so fucking funny in this movie.
Yeah.
R.I.P. But she, like, because she was like, I'm going to do this. And then she just loses her mind just laughing. It's just, her laughing in the movie is worth the price.
Brittany Murphy is amazing. God,
do you say Eddie Murphy?
Brittany Murphy is an amazing actress. Was the mental hospital one?
Disturbing Behavior. No, Disturbing Behavior.
Something like that.
No, Girl Interrupted.
Girl Interrupted.
Was she in that?
Yeah, she was good.
I forget who was everyone. Amy Adams is one of the actresses before she became super popular. It's creepy, but yeah, anyways, you go through a bunch of the, but it's like this small town in Minnesota, and people start, like, sabotaging the beauty contest, like literally like blowing up stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say, people and
like
die.
Just, yeah, it's like drop dead gorgeous for a reason. But yeah, no, it's funny, especially if you're from like the Northwest, in like Wisconsin or Minnesota. Every time I say Minnesota, I say it. Minnesota. Oh gosh. Oh jeez.
Jeez.
Jeez. Yeah. Christy Alley.
That's who it was. I was like, I can't remember who the person in charge of it.
She's so good. And then Denise Richards is just a shitty human being in this movie. Yeah. But I gave it a 7. And, no, I'm going to give it, 7.5. 7.5. Only because, like, I don't want to, not to spoil it, but, like, the ending, it's not a Mel Brooks movie where he's just like, I don't know how to end it, but, like, it kind of ends, like, in an unfulfilling way. But but up until that point, it's great. So Drop Dead Gorgeous, I gave it a 7.5.
All right. 7.5. Okay, so now's the segment of the podcast where we don't have a name yet, and we are going to give you the shitty DVDs as the prize if you come up with a name for it.
Well,
Scott says he's got one suggestion already.
One suggestion from my girlfriend. It's a play on words, or a play on a word, but I'm trying to think of how to emphasize it. This is a segment called Preview.
Preview.
Because so it's before we saw it,
yeah.
We're giving a preview of what it's like.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like that a lot. Because it's a preview. Now,
until we come up with a better name.
Whoa, jeez.
Just kidding.
Well, I mean, yeah, because people are still sending things saying...
The contest isn't over.
No. The contest is over
when we send. We have plenty of movies to give away.
Preview.
Yeah.
The preview.
The preview would be like the trailer, but...
Yeah, but that's what we're doing, though. We're giving them the preview of what the movie's like, but also it's before we watch it.
Yeah.
It's a double entendre.
So, the movie...
Entendre.
Entourage. This movie is called 2 Days.
2 Days!
2 Days with Paul Rudd and Donald Logue.
The sequel...
Not even, like, the main person. It's more of Paul Rudd and... what's the guy's name?
Adam Scott.
Whose name's not even on the cover.
Because Donald Logue was a big star at this point.
Yeah, with his Grounded for Life show.
My feet smell.
So, what we thought the movie... What we thought the movie was about... We're going to play that clip here.
Right here.
That's why I say I think it's about a theater that's going under. So they got to make a movie that people will come and see. But they only have 2 days.
All right. My theory on the movie... they're shooting a film. They're filmmakers. But then they witness a crime being committed. Like, someone gets murdered. And they have, like... And they basically give... I don't know what 2 days is. Like, maybe, like, they're on the run. Or, like, trying to hide from them. Because within 2 days... Something happens, like they can be saved, or whatever. Or they're going to release it within 2 days, give it to the police. I'm not sure what 2 days is. And boy, we were wrong.
So what the movie really is about is Paul Rudd plays an out-of-work actor.
Yeah.
Who hires a film crew to follow him to document the fact that he's going to kill himself in 2 days.
Yeah, very different.
So, obviously, he's like, okay, so this is how I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to put myself in a car and carbon monoxide.
Well, no, he didn't know how he was going to do it.
Oh, right, beginning.
In the beginning, he's like, I don't know how to do it, because partway through it, some guy's like, yeah, you should do this, because when he was doing the credit card thing.
So he has this film crew following him around while he's explaining his life and all this stuff. And the film crew... is basically trying to stop him from doing this. So they come up with, like, things where they invite his parents into town and stuff like that.
Or take him to a job audition.
Give him a job interview and things like that. And they follow him through that. And I'm not going to give away how it ends.
I do like the part where he's like, hey, buddy, I haven't seen you forever. Oh, man, you doing this? Oh, don't do it. We had such a memory. He's like, all right, I'm not going to do it. Like, all right, cool, you're not going to do it? No, I'm still going to do it. I just didn't want him to
not worry. Think that we wanted to.
And it's like that because he kept doing that to everybody.
Yeah.
Which
shows you he's a good actor.
Dude, when he did the audition,
yeah.
I was like, holy shit, Paul Rudd can act.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he can act, but, like, I was like, oh. Like, because, you know, whenever, like, a movie or something's like, oh, we got this awesome song, and then the song, like, oh, right, we got this song, it's a hit, and they're like, that's not a good song.
Right.
We're like, oh, he's such a good actor, and then he acts like, oh, shit, that was really good acting.
Yeah.
That was actually really good.
Yeah. I thought he was ad-libbing it, or, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
True.
I just felt like it was... The whole movie is, like, leading up to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Right? And there's, like, there's no right way to end this movie.
No.
Like, they ended it fine.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole movie is leading up to the end. Like, I know all movies lead up to the end, but this is, like...
the one that ends halfway through, and then just, like, the last part is just them sitting in chairs.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I don't know how you can make the ending work.
Yeah, because you're not going to please everybody with, right. When you go, we're going to do this, and you go, oh, is he or is he not? Oh, what's happening?
Right. Because it's a hard movie to, like I said, they're setting up the end, obviously. And,
yeah.
Like,
I liked the setup of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was kind of neat at the beginning, like, all right, well, this is a fun, and then, like, probably, like, 10 or 15 minutes then I was like, all right, I'm over this idea.
Right. I also felt like they were throwing in a lot of extra stuff that was unnecessary, like the guy sleeping with his girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, just between the crew members and stuff. I thought it was kind of weird. But, I mean, it's not, like, the worst movie I saw.
No.
I enjoyed watching it. I just didn't know how they were going to, like, appropriately end the movie.
Yeah.
I still gave...
Spoiler alert. Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs on meteors.
Yep.
On meteors.
They ride the meteors. We're taking our planet back.
So the movie's called 2 Days. I gave it a 7.5.
Here's the thing. On the DVD, it has the number 2 Days, and then you go into IMDb, it's spelled out 2-W-O.
Yeah, also called 2 Days with the number.
Yeah, way to mess with us. I don't know, I got bored with it pretty fast. I gave it a 5.5 for the 2 days.
Yeah, it's spelt out in the copyright.
Oh boy, guys, he's got to decide.
Yeah, Donald. Be clever by, you know, takes up less space.
Donald Logue is on the cover. His name is the second name on the list, and he's in it for 3 minutes of the movie.
Right. Yeah, Adam Scott is in it way more.
But this is for Parks and Rec, though.
He's not even on the back.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Okay, so, to review, the best movie I saw this month was Bad Times at the El Royale with a 9.
I saw that one is my highest with an 8.
And then the worst movie I saw this month was... Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Nutty Professor with a 7.
The lowest...
which is still pretty high.
Oh.
That's a pretty good month for me.
The lowest I had was a tie between 2 days and Titus with 5.5.
Oh, yeah, he said Titus.
Wow.
Sorry. I'm not a big Shakespeare person.
I know, me neither.
All right, and, we gotta pick a movie
that we're gonna pick my
preview.
We're gonna preview it. Give me a number between 1, 2, or 3.
Let's go 2 for 2 days.
2 days.
Which, as Scott pointed out, we watched 2 days and 48 hours, which is the same movie.
It's the same, but different.
It's not the same movie. It's the same title.
So this movie, I know nothing about it, and all I'll tell you is my friend Eric gave it to me because he gave it to me, and because he had 2 copies of it, but it's not a well-known movie. He says it's a guilty pleasure of his. And a lot of the people in the movie didn't go by their real names because they were ashamed of it.
Oh, no.
But it's called Welcome to Spring Break. So there you go. Okay. That's the movie.
It looks like an electric chair.
Uh-huh. A guy in a motorcycle.
A guy in a motorcycle outfit, like, as if he fell off the chair. And then there's, like...
He didn't fall off it. He's standing in front of it.
But it looks like the chair tipped him off. And now he's standing.
Banned Photoshop.
And then it looks like a bunch of people in swim attire on a beach that's on fire.
Maybe it looks like the waves are on fire.
Yeah.
All right.
But the whole beach scene is very orange. Like,
yeah.
They might be burnt. Because that looks like she could be on fire. I don't know. So this is interesting. So the electric chair has lightning going through it.
Yeah. Can I see this for a second?
I'm going to say that this guy, the guy in the front in the motorcycle outfit, I'm going to pretend that that's like fireproofing outfit, and he's a pyromaniac, and he likes starting people on fire. So it's spring break, and he goes to the beach to burn as many people as he can, gets caught, and gets the electric chair.
Okay.
That's my premise.
I think similar to that. I'm looking at, it's an 88-minute movie.
You think he's a pyromaniac?
No, sorry, it's not 88 movie. It's from 1988. It's 92 minutes. It's rated R. I think it is a guy.
He's seen his light flash before his eyes.
No, no.
He's getting the chair.
I think he was a killer that got the electric chair, and then. And then he starts up a murdering rampage on this during spring break, like the MO of the guy who got killed. Because
like a Jigsaw thing.
Yeah, because it, like, it could be a copycat, you mean?
Like the movie Jigsaw?
Oh.
But I'm saying, like a copycat killer, but it could be the original guy.
And that's why he has the helmet on over his face, because then you're like, oh, is it actually him killing everyone? But he died in the electric chair, but there's rumors going around. That's what I think.
Yeah. I definitely don't think that this is the hero on the cover.
No, I don't think so. This is the prequel of Kin.
The movie we're going to watch in July is called Welcome to Spring Break.
Oh, but it's amazing because the electric chair is like high res, but everything else is low res.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's intentional.
It's from 88, so I'm sure they shot this on a VHS tape. So... that's Welcome to Spring Break. That's what we're going to watch that this month. But yeah, so if you want to email any suggested names for the preview.
Yeah, Welcome to Spring Break doesn't even come up in IMDb.
Well, Lionsgate released it, so this is,
Oh, okay. Alternate title. Do we want to do that? Do we want to see what the alternate title
is? Is it going to give anything away?
Not really. It's called Nightmare Beach.
Nightmare Beach, that's a better name.
I know! That's the real name, I guess. It was originally called Welcome to Spring Break. And this one, it shows people in... He's got the helmet, but it shows two people making out in the reflection.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be a pretty...
Oh, nope, never mind, I'm wrong.
Oh, no, he's covering a woman's mouth.
It shows a woman's mouth getting covered with a glove. But it's still the orange beach and people dancing.
And the motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
I think it's just a generic beach slasher.
It's Spanish.
It's not Spanish. It is Italian.
Okay. Well, Spanish and Italian similar.
I think it's in English. I think the movie's in English, but it was made by an Italian company, they do that a lot, where they'll make a movie and then dub it in English.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, that's why it was probably translation titles.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we translated the Italian title and it's called Welcome to Spring Break. It's like, yeah, but Nightmare Beach sounds better. Okay.
Alright.
So it probably came out later, that title.
So if you have any recommendations or comments or questions...
Yeah, it's English language, so...
Yeah. Any questions or comments, like, say, hey, we like this movie, or I hated this movie, what's wrong with you, or anything we should be doing... for your listening pleasure, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Also, toss a suggestion in there for the previews portion of the podcast.
Or suggestions of movies that you think that we should butcher.
Yeah, that way. Or maybe you suggest a movie and say, hey, have you ever heard of this movie? If we both go, no, well, we might watch that one. Who knows?
Yeah.
There's a lot of
your voice.
There's a lot of options out there.
Okay. And I think that's a
wrap.
That's a weird way to end it.
Rap, rap, rapity rap. Rap, 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 rapity rap. I got a rap, rap, rapity rap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.